What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. American Second Harvest of Big Bend distributes over 5.5 million pounds of food annually to an 11-county area. That's 4.5 million meals. One in four children in the Big Bend area faces hunger. 411 Teen talk with members of the Second Harvest of Big Bend. First, an update on the news. What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. Tap into the pulse this hour with members of the American Second Harvest of Big Bend. Welcome Herman McBride. Herman is Program Services Director of American Second Harvest of the Big Bend.
Thank you for having me.
I look forward to talking with you. And Cheryl Phoenix. Cheryl is the Executive Director of America's Second Harvest of the Big Bend.
Good afternoon.
And I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, producer of 411 Teen. American Second Harvest of Big Bend distributes over 5.5 million pounds of food annually to an 11-county area. That's 4.5 million meals. More than 114,900 people live in poverty in these 11 counties. 29,400 are children. One in four children in the Big Bend area faces hunger. Second Harvest of Big Bend, what's your mission?
Thank you for asking. We appreciate being here. Our mission is to fight hunger by distributing food through our network of partner agencies, which are other nonprofits in the community, and to educate and engage the community in the fight against hunger.
Who are your partner agencies? Can you share some of those with me?
Yes, we have over 150
Well, you partner, can't share all those, but that's great.
Partner agencies throughout the 11 county. I think what's most important to know is that most of our partner agencies are the 501c3 along with the religious institutions. So probably 43% of all of our partner agencies are religious-based.
Okay. How are you funded?
We have a variety of funding sources for which I'm very thankful because in the recent recession, it has, as the need continues to grow, then we have been trying to be more creative with how we get more food out. But we do get some United Way funding. We get funding through the city and county, Leon County. But we rely heavily on grants and also on private donations. We have a lot of support from the community, and we're very, very thankful for the support that they give us.
Who do you serve? You know, it's the W's. Who, which, where, why? You know, but who do you serve? I mean, who is eligible? What's the criteria? How do they become involved? How do they access service? Those are all the kinds of things that I want to know.
And the people who are able to receive food from our partner agencies, they're not the typical person. You know, when we sometimes think of people who receive food assistance, they think of people who are homeless, but it's less than 15% of the people that we give food to are homeless. It's working families. It's families who have one or two people who may be working but not working very much, many hours, or not being able to pay the bills. And so one-fourth of the people that we serve are seniors, and one-third of them are children. And so, again, it's not just, the stereotype of, people who unfortunately people think of, but it's our neighbors. It's people that live in our neighborhoods and we go to school with.
I'm glad you emphasize that because I know with the economic trends now that we're seeing a different. It's not the stereotypical individual. You tend to think those who may be impoverished and not working and that indeed is
the case anymore.
You look like you wanted to share something. Feel free.
Sometimes when I get started, it's hard to stop.
Oh, no, feel free.
But I think it's an important or it's an eye-opener to know there are many college students that actually are going hungry. You and I had some dialogue about my current career right now, attending FAMU. And many times I run into many of the students who indicate, how do you access the food at your food bank? Because I know that you work there. And I explain to them, well, there are a variety of ways to access it, and then go details.
Well, explain that to us now for the listening audience. I mean, because that's something that I think would be very valuable for the listening audience. I mean, there are people, I'm sure, that could, you know, definitely benefit.
Well, one way they can, one, access a food pantry is one by contacting us. And they can always contact our office at 850-562-3033. They can also find us on the website at fightinghunger.org. But if you call, you will find out that we have, again, over 140 agencies throughout the 11 counties. And because we set up a partnership with our agencies, they are allowed to determine when they're going to distribute. What we try to focus on is that no partner agency within a close vicinity distribute at the same time, because what we try to do is expand it out. Mm-hmm. Many folks may believe that even though you're coming to get some extra food for your household, it's usually only will last you for about a day or two. So that's why it's important to, when we establish a partner relationship, that maybe one will be open on a Monday and another one will be open on a Saturday.
Would you share, do you mind, the 11 counties for the list audience, for those who you know, may really want to know if they're eligible and where they are? What 11 counties do you...
We go as far east as Taylor County and Madison, and then we go as far west as Jackson and Calhoun and Gulf counties. But the interesting thing is there is a food bank that covers every county in the United States. Mm-hmm. We are part of the network called Feeding America. And so even if it's outside of this area, or if people move or they know family members who may be in need in other areas of the state or the country, there's a food bank that works with other churches and nonprofits to help, you know, get food out to them. So it's a great network that people can access anywhere.
Wow, that's impressive. That's great. Now, is there an application process, or they can just...
Become a partner, what usually happens is that I think American Second Harvest of the Big Bend is fairly well-known throughout the 11 counties. Mm-hmm. What usually happens is that a partner agency or a church, let's say, will give us a call and say, I'm interested in handing out food. Mm-hmm. Or our church is currently doing a pantry, but we're accessing or using our resources at the local grocery stores. And I've been made aware of that we can actually partner up with America's Second Harvest and get items at a much more reduced rate or actually free. They find out that the things that we get, such as our bread and our produce, they can access that at no charge. So what we usually do is say, well, let's set you up with an orientation. We have a new partner agency orientation every second Tuesday of the month from 9 to noon. Anyone interested, because there is limited space, anyone interested would call in. They would sign up, and then they would attend the orientation. At the orientation, I would go over America's Second Harvest, our mission, our goal, our policy and procedures that we have to adhere to. We also go over civil rights, which is very important, understanding that people, individuals, cannot be discriminated against based on certain classes. We also take them on a tour during the warehouse, and as well as I wrap up.
I heard about
with,
that warehouse.
Yeah, well, I may invite you to come on out anytime.
Will.
And I usually wrap up with a food safety training. Now, while it is basic, it's very critical that any partner agency that's interested in coming on board with us understand that we emphasize safety of the food. Mm-hmm. And I use some examples to let them really comprehend why we're so specific with the food, and that there are heat and temperatures that you need to make sure your food remains at. You have to keep your make sure that certain kind of cans that you may receive, that if it looks a certain way, you need to dispose of it. We try to usually
for
say,
for example, I mean, elaborate, because
well, let's take a dent can,
okay,
or a rusted can. We usually say, if you're not sure, more so, when in doubt, throw it out.
Okay.
It is best to be safe than anything mm-hmm. else. We want to get the food out, but not more than we want to make sure people are healthy and safe from any type of bad food.
But people, you know, even when they're looking into their own pantries, there are a lot of foods that are good past the best by date or the use by date. And so we inspect those and look at those. But you know, oftentimes we'll have people ask, can we donate this if it's the use by date is gone?
Can you share an example?
All right. So there's you can always check the website. Mm-hmm. You can just Google food shelf life.
Okay.
And a lot of people are under the assumption, or there are many people under the assumption, that best if used date by means that once the date comes, then the food is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not the case. The fact of the matter is, best is the primary word.
Ideal.
Best, right. Once that date comes, what it says is, or what the understanding is, that food, the quality of the food begins to decrease once that best if used date by comes and
okay.
goes. So, I mean, there are many type of foods, products that will last 6 months later past the expiration date, even a year, up to 2 years past the expiration date.
Like pasta, I'm trying to get an idea of the kinds of things.
And canned vegetables and things like that.
Right.
Yeah, so it's good for people to know they can still eat it if it's at their home, or they can donate it if they would like to as well.
Doing part of the orientation when I go over food safety, I like to give them the example of what happens when you don't ensure that dry food, dry special goods are not kept at the proper temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually give them a story about, I'm originally from New York City, and when I came down here, I wasn't aware, but I had several boxes of cereal in my mm-hmm. pantry, and I guess I left it up there for several months and I wasn't concerned about the temperature at all. And here I am eating a bowl of cereal, and then all of a sudden I noticed that my cereal is becoming entertainment happening. And I didn't know what was going on,
around.
But I seen these little things moving around.
Mm-hmm.
And then I later learned that what they were called was weebles.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found was that if you don't keep your dry special goods within a certain temperature, that's how they develop. So,
mm-hmm.
again, within the time frame that we have for the training, which usually lasts about 3 hours, we try to get all the pertinent stuff in within that time frame.
You have a wealth of knowledge. Where are you located? I mean, we've talked all about, but where exactly are you?
Our address is 110 Four Points Way, which is about a mile south on Orange Avenue of the post office.
Okay.
And so, you know, if you go south on Adams, then you will reach Four Points Way. And we do have a pretty fascinating warehouse. It's nice for people to be able to see it because they know we do something with food, but they mm-hmm. don't really see that our cooler and freezer space is over 5,500 square feet. And so it's...
wow.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. We do encourage people to come by and see it. And also to volunteer. A lot of people can come... anyone can come and volunteer if they sign up with the orientation. It's something good for people who need to get community service hours for school. If they are under 16, we do ask for an adult to be there. But it's a great way to get involved in the fight against hunger. We also have two volunteer blitzes, two Saturdays a month. And so if people aren't able to get there during the week, they can sign up for that as well. So it's a great way to see the warehouse and see a little better what we do.
Now, what are your hours again?
The office hours are 8 to 5, and then when we have our Saturday blitzes, they are 9 to 12.
Okay. So folks can come anytime in between those hours. Do they need to set up an appointment?
They do.
Well, and how should they handle that?
The best way is to go on our website, which is fightinghunger.org, and we have a bar that says volunteer, and so they can click that, and then they can see when our volunteer orientations are.
Mm-hmm.
They can see some of the different jobs that we ask volunteers to help us with. It's not just in the warehouse. It's also in the office or with special events.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
You must have been reading my mind, because I was going to say, what else can they be involved in besides, actually the food?
Yes, they can. And so there's a lot of things that we'll have, as I mentioned, we'll have special events. We have some people who like to organize their own food drive. And so we, you know, have information on our website about how they can do that. So there's a lot of ways that people can get involved in the fight against hunger. It's not, just donating food, but also, spending their time and getting to know us and helping in a lot of different ways.
Established in 1982 as the Food Bank of Tallahassee, and in 1986 joined the National Food Bank Network, American Second Harvest talks with 411 Teen. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable from America's Second Harvest of Big Bend is Mr. Herman McBride and Ms. Cheryl Phoenix. And you all are just sharing so much information. I mean, I just want to say thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
Cheryl, I know you had some comments that you wanted to make sure folks, some information that folks knew about. You want
to
share that?
Yeah, thank you again for the opportunity. We just, again, going back to what we had said earlier, anyone could find themselves in need. They may be trying to decide if they're going to pay the electric bill or they're going to go to the grocery store that month. And so they can call us, and as Herman mentioned, we can refer them to a partner agency, which is a food pantry that's close to them and is open. And so they can go there. They don't have to have proof of income. They don't have to go through this lengthy process. There is a one-page form that we are required by the USDA for them to fill out. But again, it's them filling out that form. And so we try and encourage the partner agencies to make it as easy as possible, because it's a really hard thing for people who haven't ever had to ask for help to be able to do that. Another thing that we wanted to emphasize is that there are summer food programs that are available at different locations throughout the whole state, in the United States. And in Florida, people could go to summerfoodflorida.org and put in their county or their city, and it will show the different sites that children up to 18 can go to receive a lunch or a breakfast or a snack. And it's got all that information on that website. They can also get that information from our website, which, again, is fightinghunger.org.
Okay. The higher the unemployment rate, the higher the number of children who go hungry, and the higher the number of pregnant women and girls who go without adequate nutrition. One in every four children in the Big Bend area is food insecure. Just what does that mean? What does food insecure mean?
It means that someone doesn't know where they are going to get their next meal, and that they experience that frequently. And so it's, not knowing when they go home from school if there's going to be food in the refrigerator, or if they're going to have food, or do they have to wait till mom gets paid on Friday. And so that's what that term means.
Okay. I know there are a number of reports that identify a million kids being food insecure. Do you all agree with that statistic? Is it conservative? My suspicion was that it was a little bit conservative, mm-hmm. that they're probably more than that. But
mm-hmm. I would agree. I guess when I hear the term food insecure, mm-hmm. I always reminisce back when I was growing up in New York City, mm-hmm. Where my mother was receiving government assistance. It was three other siblings in the household. And oftentimes I probably was I credit being a good student because I knew food, at least breakfast and lunch, was mm-hmm. always available. Never had to worry about me missing out on school. And I think yes. it was probably due to not feeling food insecure. Mm-hmm. But I used to, as I reflect back on my childhood days, that there was no food available from the schools during the summer times because school was closed. Mm-hmm. However, it was programs like the one Ms. Phoenix mentioned, the summer food program, that was available in New York City when I was a child. And I often found myself going to these centers to receive food and also going back for seconds and thirds if possible. And in some cases, seeing if I could take some back home with me because mm-hmm. I was unsure if I was going to have anything that night. When we say food insecure, it doesn't mean it's not limited to just, well, am I going to have a meal tonight, but am I going to have enough to at least be full? Mm-hmm. So oftentimes we would have to split one box of macaroni and cheese between four of us. And with me being the youngest and my older siblings hanging out in the street, I found myself often going into their bowls that was left in the refrigerator. And then when they came home, they had little to eat. So when we talk about food insecure, it doesn't mm-hmm. mean all the time that there's no food or the person won't be able to eat. But do enough. They have enough food? And more mm-hmm. importantly, do they have a nutritional meal? When I mentioned that box of macaroni, that was it. There was no meat to go with it, no vegetable to go with it. And you drink enough water with the macaroni and cheese and you would be full and hope for the next day to go back to that summer lunch program or school for that breakfast.
Mm-hmm. And that's the I want to say thanks for sharing that because I think that's the reality and people don't know. It's hidden. Mm-hmm. You don't.
It's
you
a
really
hidden,
don't
hidden
know.
Epidemic.
Yeah.
It really is.
You really don't know mm-hmm. what's going on. Okay. You can't just look at someone and decide.
No, you can't. And so we are very thankful for the programs that are out there and appreciate the opportunity to let, you know, that you're mm-hmm. giving us to let people know about them. Because in the summer, a lot of children don't have access to the school programs, as Herman mentioned. And so the more we can get the information out there, that there are other places that they could go. There are other programs that they can go to get some food.
Well, we're going to talk about that, but I wanted to know what type of food is distributed. I mean, is it everything? You know, because I know that some are perishables. I just, mm-hmm. is everything? Can they access everything from you all? I mean, from meat to vegetables to whatever?
We do distribute all of those things.
Okay.
We have actually received 90,000 pounds of produce last week, if you can imagine
wow.
that. And we'll be distributing that last week and this week. And so we do distribute perishable items. We pick up from all of the grocery stores, the Walmarts, the Winn-Dixies, the Publixes, and so receive a lot of dairy items, produce and meat items from them, and then are able to give those to the food pantries. And then the summer food programs that were on the website that we mentioned are actually, they provide a meal that is balanced according to USDA menus. And so, you know, every program's a little bit differently, but mm-hmm. definitely it's not just canned goods and macaroni and cheese that people can obtain produce. They can get some milk and some meat if we have it available and the pantry has it the capacity to store it.
I think that's important to know because I think people might think think of food pantry, and mm-hmm. they may think of things mm-hmm. like, you know, pasta. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't recognize that, oh, there is milk mm-hmm. and there is mm-hmm. meat and mm-hmm. there are mm-hmm. fresh vegetables. Mm-hmm.
We work really hard to make sure that that produce is there and that the other items are there if possible.
Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what's available here in Leon County, because mm-hmm. that's where we are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
First of all, I wanted to know, what is the weekend backpack?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know if you would share yeah. information about the weekend backpack. I know that's one of the programs.
The backpack program is something that we do in connection with some of the schools in the community. And we provide a backpack or a bag of food for children who have been identified by the schools as probably not having food over the weekend. And so that's something that we've been able to do in 4 schools in Leon County, 1 school in Gadsden. And unfortunately, those schools have 95% or more of their children on free or reduced lunches. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's really hard for the school to identify which are the children most in need. But because of our limited funding, we're able to, you know, tell the schools we can provide 100 backpacks for you every Friday. And so they actually, mm-hmm. we deliver those to the schools and they go to the children, they go home to the children on Friday. We try in the backpacks to provide enough food for a family of 4 for a balanced meal, because we know if the child is hungry, they probably have some siblings mm-hmm. and at least one adult in the household who is hungry. So that's our program, and it's people can come and help us pack the backpacks during the week.
Okay.
And it's really fun, and there's some people who really like doing that.
So what happens when a child does not receive or is able to eat a meal on a weekend? They come to school mm-hmm. unfocused, and which can turn out to be someone may misinterpret mm-hmm. that as
behavior problem.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking from experience, having went to school hungry at times, I was unable to concentrate mm-hmm. Until I made it to either, if I didn't make it for that breakfast, then I definitely made it for that lunch and made up for breakfast. But when you miss out on a meal and then you do have the availability to get a meal, you tend to overeat. So we're talking mm-hmm. about, but you don't want that to get confused with that those who go hungry, there's a obesity problem. Mm-hmm. You really can't tell sometimes whether if someone is overweight, underweight. It's a combination of things. Also, you can you'll find that some kids who go hungry don't attend school regularly, or they are often retained because they get behind mm-hmm. in their schoolwork. So mm-hmm. that's why it's so important to really get the word out about food availability and at no cost. Please find these centers, these sites. Get in touch with American Second Harvest. We want to make sure not only children, not only teens, but mm-hmm. also adults, that there's food available.
Mm-hmm. Now, the weekend backpack mm-hmm. sounds great, but what happens when school's out? Where are we now? By the time this airs, the school will be out. Mm-hmm. What happens?
Sometimes we're able to provide the backpacks to community centers give them to the children to take home. This is a program that's purely private funded, and so it depends on our funding that's available. Mm-hmm. So we hope that they will be able to access food at some of the community centers or their schools throughout the summer, too.
So what American Second Harvest did was look at those gaps in mm-hmm. which a child may not be able to access food. So as the backpack program, let's say, ends for the mm-hmm. year, we focus on the summer food program to help supplement that portion of food until, of course, school returns again. That's why it's so important to get as many sites up and running as possible. Mm-hmm. And again, having access for folks to know where to get that food. That's why when we mentioned previously about summerfoodflorida.org or call in 211. They can, again, put in their zip code, their city, and find out where are these locations, what time is it available, and where is it, how close is it to where they reside.
How are the food programs handled in the schools? And I'll tell you what I'm asking about, particularly when you get to that middle school and maybe high school level, where kids are very sensitive about it. And they might be hungry, but, you know, they don't want anybody to know about it. Do you know how it's handled here in the schools? Do they make a big distinction, or is it just kind of matter of fact and handled very appropriately?
It's handled the same in the cafeteria. The problem that we have been told, because as Herman mentioned, we're trying to identify gaps, is that high school students in general don't eat in the cafeteria.
Yeah.
They, whether it's a free lunch or they're paying for it, they don't. And so that is a huge gap that has been identified by the school system, and that we're trying to, you know, to think of ways that we can help them, because if they're not getting – some of them, if they're not getting food at lunchtime or at breakfast, then they are having a real difficult time. And so that's one of the things, as Herman mentioned, we're trying to identify gaps, and that's one of the things we've been looking at with them on our advisory board.
Now, how many schools do you serve in Leon County? I mean, there are, what, about 20? I guess there's about 24 elementary schools, and then you've got the middle schools and the high schools. Do you serve all of them?
Oh, no. I wish we could. the backpack program is in five schools, four elementary schools, and one middle school in Leon County.
And is that because those are only the ones that you have enough to serve?
Or exactly.
How receptive are the school
system? They are extremely receptive.
Okay.
We have a lot of support from the school system. They appreciate the help, and they have, you know, at times have called and said, is there way, any way we can get more? But it's purely private funding, and so we do as much as we can. People can designate, if they donate online, they can designate the funds go specifically to the backpack program.
Right, and I would like to try to put a plug out there to encourage any organizations that want to sponsor a school, they can contact American Second Harvest and say, we want to sponsor a backpack program for a specific school for the upcoming year. And we would love to establish that partnership with them and make that happen.
Okay. Well, I think about donations, and I just had a little flash that went through. How do you handle junk food donations? I mean, you know, we're talking about nutrition and what's good, but how do you get a lot of junk food donations?
We don't get a lot, but we don't turn it away.
Okay.
And we will make it available. The agencies that we work with can, we have actually an online ordering system. They can order the things that they want to use. The programs that are specific to children, we do follow nutritious guidelines for that. But as far as the pantries go, it depends on that organization, that pantry.
Of course, I guess junk food is better than no food.
Yes.
If it gets to that point.
Well, my wife would love this. My father-in-law used to say to his family, "A fool ain't nothing but a fool."
Mm-hmm.
So when I think about the times that I ate whatever it took to get me filled up, a fool isn't nothing but a fool. But of course, American Second Harvest wants to make sure that there is a nutritional balanced meal. But I would like to just tap into, you mentioned junk food, but I want to talk about food that isn't good to distribute out.
Share that, please.
That there's a very rigorous orientation that our volunteers or anyone that's willing to go in the back in the warehouse and sort out food, they have to first go through a video training to understand what foods to look for, what type of cans, things like that, and whatever is bad or again, we have some doubt. With the highest standards, we would push it to the side and send it to the trash, because again, no matter what, we want those who are receiving food to make sure that the food is safe.
Okay. Now, what are some of the locations in Leon County, I guess, for the food pantry? Because I know you have a number of different programs, and I do want to try to touch on them. But what about the food pantries?
Some of our food pantries are the larger nonprofits that people are familiar with, like Community Action, Catholic Charities, ECHO. And some of them are churches, that large churches like Killarney United Methodist Church or Holy Comforter Episcopal. Grace Mission downtown does a lot of work that we partner with. And some of them are small churches. Flipper Chapel AME has been doing a lot of work for a long time, but is a very small organization. So there's a variety of them throughout the community.
And again, how would they find out when these, what the hours are and where they, what do they do? How do people do?
One, they can just simply call America's Second Harvest at 850-562-3033. They can also visit our website and get in touch with any staff member that will be more than willing to tell them, give them where. We usually check where you're located so we can get you as close as possible. And then we'll tell you what time it's available and what days they're available.
Okay. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and I'm talking with two dynamic folks, Herman McBride and Cheryl Phoenix, both from American Second Harvest of the Big Bend. We're going to take a break, but we'll return shortly. Tuned in to 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens and other interested folks. This hour, I'm talking with American Second Harvest of the Big Bend area. Joining me are Herman McBride and Cheryl Phoenix. As executive director, I have to ask this question. I always want to know, what is the most challenging that you have confronted?
I think it's true for Second Harvest as it is with other nonprofits, is continuing to see the need increase and being creative and finding ways to meet that need. I think it's a challenge that we face every day. We know the need is huge, and just trying to figure out how the how to use the limited resources that we've been entrusted with to produce the best results.
Well, you seem to be doing an excellent job. You know, I know you can always use more, but what you do the best you can with what you have.
That's right.
Why she's the director.
You're doing a great job. I wanted to talk about some other programs that I know that you have available. One of them was Second Helpings. What's Second Helpings?
Second Helpings is where it started. That's how we started. It actually was started by some volunteers from a local church in 82, as you mentioned, that were going around to different restaurants and picking up food that was going to be thrown away. And so we still do that. We have restaurants in town that we pick up from, as well as the retail stores like Walmart and Winn-Dixie and Publix, now Harvey's, and Dollar General even sometimes. And so by picking up those foods that they were going to have to throw away, and then we either, if it's a restaurant, we get it to an agency that day so they can serve it that night. Or if it is from a retail store, it comes back into our warehouse so that we can make sure that it gets out to people and is refrigerated and cold appropriately.
What are some of the restaurants that you
It's interesting, yeah, because some of them, like Olive Garden, okay. Longhorn, even Red Lobster. But then we have...
That's a real plus for them.
It is.
I think people should know.
Yeah. Pizza Hut, KFC, those are, you know, those larger chains, but also, you know, locally owned businesses like Tasty Pastry and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a great partnership.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you really interface with the community
mm-hmm. on all
levels.
Yeah.
In all levels.
Actually, it was Panera Bread
mm-hmm.
that called us and said, listen, we don't want to waste this bread at the end
That's
of the
great.
Night. Please, if some of your partner agencies is willing to pick it up on a certain day of the week, we'd be more than happy to give it to them. And we immediately got on the phone and
I think
we rectified that concern for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you all provide... I guess, education about food, nutrition. I mean, do you provide any type of educational programs for consumers?
That's
for
one of our goals.
Consumers?
Yeah, for that we would be able to provide nutrition education in the future. I mean, we've got some short-term goals and long-term goals, mm-hmm. and that's definitely on the list.
I think we probably take advantage of that opportunity during our annual partner agency conferences that we have every year. And that's when we try to get first we try to find out what do the partner agencies need, mm-hmm. what are they lacking, how can we better assist them. And those are the times that we seek out having someone come in during our conference and talk to our partner agencies to include talking about nutritional value of meals and things of that nature.
That's great because, that's needed mm-hmm. by everybody, mm-hmm. all of us.
All of us.
I know. You notice
the American way. We need to
all
learn to do better.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and I'm talking with American Second Harvest of Big Bend. Would you share how we access you again?
Thank you. They can go to our website, which is fightinghunger.org, or call us at 850-562-3033.
Okay. Now, you mentioned to provide food for the seniors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to, even though it's 411 Teen, we need to look at the whole.
They've got grandmas. Huh?
Yes. Right. That's right. Those grandmas help take care of those kids.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
You're right. There are a lot of grandmas.
High percentage of them. Mm-hmm. That's right.
That are doing that. So let's talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of services do you provide for the seniors? And how do the seniors access it?
We do have a special program called Brown Bags for Seniors, where we are able to provide the brown bags to certain agencies, and they provide that food to seniors at the end of the month when their resources are very limited. But 1/4 of the people who receive food through our food pantries are seniors as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we a lot of the pantries will give preference to they'll let the seniors go first if they are, you know, if they are waiting and things like that. So we have both the brown bag program and then through the food pantries we try and help seniors.
And some of our partner agencies are actually senior housing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like Georgia Bell is a good example,
where
we do a drop there or provide food there for the seniors.
Okay. And I would guess when we have various disasters
mm-hmm.
that you are there.
Yes, we are. Yeah, a lot of people, they think of Red Cross and they think of the mm-hmm. Salvation Army, but they don't realize that their local food bank, Second Harvest, our local food bank included, we are there providing food and providing water. A lot of, even when it was the Tropical Storm Faye came through a few years
mm-hmm.
ago and
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of flooding, we were providing water to the fire departments to give out to the residents because they couldn't, if they were on a well, they couldn't drink it mm-hmm. because of the flooding. And so we are right there in times of disaster, making sure that we provide the support as long as it takes. And then if we are ever hurt in a disaster, the other food banks around the country come to our aid. And so it's a great network where we work together to make sure that we get food out to people.
And I just want to say, I think that we are there in a disaster every day because I believe in my heart that food insecurity is a disaster. It's a horrible epidemic, and we are fighting daily to end hunger.
Mm-hmm. What about those pregnant women and pregnant girls who nutrition is so important? They're for two, okay? How do they access? What services do you provide? How do you interface with them at all?
We partner with WIC, which is provided usually through the health departments. They do such a wonderful job of providing not only nutrition assistance, but nutrition education to pregnant women, pregnant girls, and families with young children. And so that's a program that's also federally funded, and they do a great job. And so they really concentrate on that. And so we will refer people to WIC if they are in need of those services.
Okay. So that's how they would go to WIC. I mean, they can't come
directly
to you.
Yeah. They could do both if they needed to, which a lot of times people do.
Mm-hmm. And we will also probably at the same time refer them to 211. 211 has, of course, as you know, Doctor, a plethora of a listing of agencies that can further assist them.
Okay. Would you elaborate on, I mean, when you say a plethora of or a myriad of agencies, what kinds of things? I'm just, you know, again, just trying to paint a picture with these words for the listening audience so they can get a feel for.
Well, if you contact 211, every listing of our social service agencies is pretty much listed with 211. But not only that, they also provide some counseling right at that time to find out what are the needs of the recipient that's calling in to further assist them.
Mm-hmm. And they can help them, I would guess, in accessing, food stamps or what is the SNAP program?
It's now called SNAP.
That's my plug right there.
Okay.
Thank you,
Go
doctor.
Right ahead. Go so, right into
so,
it.
So what we have found was that as unfortunately that they are the state had a massive reduction.
Mm-hmm.
And I was part of that at one time until Ms. Phoenix picked me up, and I thank her for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still thanking you. So DCF is seeking out agencies that's willing to provide SNAP outreach. And, of course, SNAP is the new term for food stamps. They don't call it food stamps anymore. And SNAP stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
Okay.
And what American Second Harvest, and thanks to Cheryl Phoenix, American Second Harvest is doing is going out into the community, finding folks that for whatever reason don't want to go into the local access center to sign up for food stamps. We will meet that person anywhere within their county. It could be a library. It could be a McDonald's. And we'll pull up our laptop and access the Internet and have our scanner with us. And walk them through the signing up for SNAP benefits. We'll take their documentation, we'll scan it into our computer system, and then we will return it and then fax it into the DCF office upon the return back in the office. And what we're trying to do is get folks signed up for benefits.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know there's been some debate about the use of food stamps, if I'm correct. I think it's Senator Storms has presented some other options. Because let's look at what can you buy with food stamps?
You cannot buy non-food items. You can't even buy toilet paper.
Okay.
And paper towels and soap to wash your dishes with. Okay. You have to buy food items. And so
non-alcoholic too, right?
Right, okay. Right.
I mean, yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
I think
and
we
people
should say that. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, because I forget that people don't realize that.
You can't buy some beer.
You can't buy some beer, and you can't buy cigarettes. Mm-hmm. You can't buy those kinds of things. And so USDA has – they do have a fraud department because of the and they've reported that they believe approximately 1% of SNAP benefits are misused. But it's not the huge amount that it has been made out to be. And, you know, the other part of it that's really hard is that in Leon County, the average household gets $246 a month in SNAP benefits. And so that we know, and USDA actually reports this as well, that most of the benefits, 90% of the benefits that people get are gone by the 21st day. Mm-hmm. And so it's that last week that, you know, the question isn't, you know, how many people are misusing the system. It's the question should be, how can we help those people who are not making it through the month? Mm-hmm. And so,
well, I know one of her objections, and I wanted to ask you to respond to it, was not so much you. Well, I guess it would be catched as misuse, but they're able to buy things like potato chips. That's a food product, and sugary drinks. Mm-hmm. And I think part of what she's saying is that we need to eliminate those things. And if you eliminated, you know, these potato chips and the Fritos and, you know, that kind of food, I guess if you want to call it, you know, that they indeed would be able to make it through the month. And how do you feel about that?
It's not just an issue for people who receive SNAP benefits. It's an American issue.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
I had potato chips at lunch. Mm-hmm. Okay? I had a healthy sandwich, but I did. And, you know, and so we...
That's the way you justify it. Well, I have this.
We, you know, we definitely see the need for nutrition education for all of us, but we don't think anyone should fall into a certain category and be told what they can and cannot buy.
Okay. That's good.
It's all of us. You know, we all need to look at our diets, and nutrition education is definitely something we all need. Mm-hmm. But I don't think people should be stigmatized because they are using an EBT card instead of a debit card.
Okay. Well, again, I'd like to say thank you.
Thank you.
But would you share contact information one more time for our listening audience?
You can reach us at America's Second Harvest. Our website is fightinghunger.org. Or you can call us at 850-562-3033.
I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. I've been talking with Mr. Herman McBride, Program Services Director, and Ms. Cheryl Phoenix, Executive Director of America's Second Harvest of the Big Bend. It has really been a pleasure.
Thank
and again,
you.
I say thank you
to
my
you.
Listening audience. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical engineer, Evan Rossi. Audio copies are available, and if you would like to participate in 411 Team or have topic suggestions, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. That's 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcasts, log in wfsu.org.